boom, 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 boom. Okay, Lamborghini Mercy. Oh yeah. Beautiful day in Culver City. I want to live in LA forever. Okay, so the eternal return. The basic idea is I seek a lifetime for everything. Why would you throw your jewels into the oceans? So the generalized idea is, I think the best way to live and approach life is maximal sunlight on your beautiful face. And no, you're not gonna get skin cancer, blah, 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 blah. My thought is, think about genetic heritage. Okay, so some thoughts. What is philosophy? Why does it matter, etc.? So, philosophy just means love of wisdom, stuff like that. And so, being a philosopher back in ancient Greece was essentially like kind of a humble flex. It's like, oh, you know, I'm not yet wise, but I aspire to become wise one day. And the reason why it's such a troll and why our best friend Socrates was such a troll is that he's like, I am wise because I know nothing. It's kind of roll your eyes, you're like. Right? And I think the reason why Socrates is not a good example, right? It's kind of like, actually, in modern day times, one of the behaviors I find very base and cowardly, like Courage the Cowardly Dog, is the notion of quote snarkiness too. So I need to figure out what it means to be snarky, but essentially when people like try to bully you or jab you by saying off-putting remarks that you can't really defend yourself. So for example, I'll be like, oh, I did that, 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 that. And then they're like, you would do it, that, 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 that. I'm like, right? So it's good to talk to people in the real world. Brave new world of AI, ChatGPTs. It is impossible to know with 100% certainty or not whether something was written by a robot or not. It's funny too, because like, okay, I'm gonna start doing new thing is, don't truncate words. So when people say bots, right? My mom, this is where my mom is so smart. She called like I showed her some stuff that ChatGPT did, and she'd be like, oh, the robot is so smart, or the robot made such good stuff. And I'm like, dot, dot, dot. Oh yeah, a bot is just a robot. And we shouldn't be calling it AI, just call it artificial intelligence. Artificial means ours to make. Intelligence, this means knowledge. So artificial intelligence is just, a thing that creates knowledge and information, right? So I think it looks like precision seems like a good idea. Oh yeah. My street photography vibes. So, Culver City is definitely on the up and up. So, every kid is essentially born a philosopher, and the downside or what happens is their curiosity or their wisdom is kind of smashed out at a young age, right? They're like, so for example, the best question ever cast is like where, why? And then some person will be like, 'cause I said so, I'm the boss. Like, it's not a good way to raise a kid. So essentially critical thinking in ancient Greek just means judge, right? And so to judge, to weigh things is a good idea. So how does one become a critical thinker? So first and foremost, philology, so essentially just means like studying ancient Greek and Latin etymologies and just kind of understanding like the history of words, the history of books. Like, for example, like, I think, so I'll give you an example, the Bible, right? So there's a canonical canon, meaning like legitimate, and there's a non-canonical Bibles, which means like the Bible as we know it is essentially written by a bunch of dudes like 1,000 years after Jesus died and cobbled together. So one must look at this with a critical eye and not treat it as fact. So any Christian or person who literally takes the Bible literally is signaling some sort of discritical thinking. Actually, one of the good things about being a Catholic, I'm Roman Catholic, born and baptized, Catholics don't take the Bible literally. We look at the Protestants, sola scriptura means only by the scripture, the Bible. I'm like, nah, it's... And actually, the funny thing too is like, what does it mean to be Catholic? I mean, I think it was it Nietzsche or somebody who says like, Catholicism or being Catholic or whatever is essentially the Holy Roman Empire 2.0. Like, even think about the Vatican, it's like, do they have their own government? Let me pray your prayers. They didn't have to do anything, right? So, better to be Catholic than Protestant. And yes, both are Christians. I just started reading the Quran just for curiosity. I met this really lovely woman at the park. And, you know, headscarf, you know, kind of a cool woman from LA. And, you know, dispelling a lot of the myths. And so actually a lot of stuff is like myth busting, right? And mythology just means kind of the origin of things. So I think it's wise to think and consider Muhammad as a real life human being, right? And even when it comes to religious things, you know, Judaism, Judea, history, I think what we need to do is for everything, strip away the hocus pocus, strip away the beliefs in ghosts and spirits and blah blah, and give everything a critical thought. So even one thing that I found out that was interesting from Nassim Taleb is from his Skin in the Game book is everybody thinks about religion differently. So for example, some people, they talk about religion like, you know, Jewish culture, it's both social and moral and ethical and also related to God, and also dietary, and also related to the state. So Israel is a very interesting case because, like, it's, like, I guess in America too, it's like one nation under God. Like, technically we're a Christian country, but like the good thing about being in America is freedom of religion, right? So it's like, obviously, we fly under the banner of one nation under God, but like technically, you could kind of be whatever you want to be, right? Israel is an interesting case because, you know, it's a Jewish state, but to be Israeli is a different identity. So it's possible that you're Jewish and not an Israeli. You're born somewhere else, and I mean, I don't really 100% sure know the history of. Jewish people, Jewish, Judea, you know, you think about Moses. I think actually, was it Moses? I actually think, yeah. Actually, it's funny because people think of Moses like some sort of Disney character, but actually he was a real dude. So it's a good thought to, rather than thinking about metaphor, just try to think critically of just like fact, right? So one thing I still don't understand 100% sure I'm doing research on is, the difference between like Sephardic Jews and Ashkenazi Jews in Eastern Europe. I'm like, wait, why is it that some Jewish people could have blue eyes and blonde hair, and then you have some other Jewish people like from Ethiopia who's obviously look different? I haven't figured it out yet, but don't worry. Read Tacitus on the Jews. It's actually a good historical primer. And then once again, like, the good thing with ChatGPT is too is that it reminds you to just, like, take everything with a grain of salt and understand hidden biases, racism, blah, blahs. So essentially, Tacitus on the Jews. The Romans were really annoyed by the Jews because they're kind of like a thorn on their side. They had a very strong military force and a strong fortress and were very difficult to conquer. And also in the Roman times, they believe in the polytheism, like there's lots of gods, right? And then people would share their gods, right? So it's like, so then the Romans were like, wait, we don't get it. Like, we have lots of gods. Your gods couldn't incorporate into our culture, but y'all only believe in one god. And you're just like, you're not allowed. We're not allowed to have our multiple gods. So then in some ways, they saw the Jewish people as the ones who were very close-minded, right? even as a kid, I remember, I'm like, it's like, wait a second. You believe this, and I believe that, and you believe in this heaven, you believe this kind of hell. It's like, who's right, right? I was like reading the Quran, just the first page, it's like, this is the perfect book. But once again, if we consider that Muhammad, and this is facts, this ChatGPT 4, I just paid for the premium one, orphan, raised by his uncle, successful merchant, and then he, at the age of 40, went to a cave, and then that's where he says he met the angel Gabriel, and they started writing the Quran. So we have to understand this. It's like, so like, once again, if we think about this literally, right? You have a 40-year-old man, very experienced, very wise, very smart guy, right? Goes into the cave, right? Let us assume that a real-life angel did not descend upon him, and that he just kind of got some spirited thoughts. And also, we never know if people are hallucinating or not. Then as a consequence, let us assume that everything that Muhammad wrote down in the Quran or whatever is just his thoughts and opinion. And what's actually kind of interesting with Muhammad, right, is that, like, yeah, he's just like a normal dude. He lived and died. He had wives. And actually, from what I understand, this is where ChatGPT 4 is useful, is that, yeah, he actually did promote lots of pro-women things. And also, let's understand, he was, like, kind of born in the year, like, 500 AD, so, what, 500, the year 500, like, 500 to 600 years after the death of Jesus. And one thing I don't understand is, like, the belief in Allah, Elohim, it's just like the same word was actually used by Jewish people and also the early Christians too. So when they're talking about God, it's like, which God are you talking about, right? Even like the best way to think about Christianity, essentially it's like Judaism 2.0. I mean, like, Christian people still circumcise. It's a tradition we get from Jewish people. Yeah. So anyways, being a philosopher, becoming a philosopher means just to see everything with a critical eye, study more history, think, and like, I think the biggest benefit of philosophy is to just think about the value of things. Like, you can study stuff, and then the ultimate thing you gotta ask yourself is, why does it matter? And you just kind of have to follow your gut. So like, I'll give you an example. So like, one thing that's like kind of like puzzling or bizarre to me is like the difference between sex and gender. So sex, man or woman, right? So penis or vagina, right? Ovaries or testicles. Also, the problem in America too is that, like, we're so prudish, which means like we're still kind of like inheriting this like Victorian, Quaker, Protestant thoughts on like modesty. So, you know, whenever it's like, oh, pregnant, whatever, it's like, oh, do you know what the gender is? Technically, you should be saying, to be more precise, do you know what the sex is? But then Americans, people don't like to say the word sex because sex also sounds like coitus, like, you know, you doing it. But talking more precisely, I think, would actually be hugely beneficial as a philosopher. So, for example, don't truncate words and say straight up, it's like, don't say AI, say artificial intelligence. It's kind of difficult though. It's kind of a mouthful. So even like, don't call people white or black or dude. It's like, if you want to be consistent, you have to call Asian people yellow. You see Native Americans, you gotta call them red. But to quote Dimitri Martin, it's like, no, we call each other that. You can't call us that. So it's like, you Asian, you see somebody, you're like, what's up, my ninja? Right? Actually, like one rapper that actually really, it's so funny, like sometimes the people you're not supposed to like are the ones that you actually do like. So the rapper 6ix9ine, right? Tekashi, you know, something, the, you know, Mexican-American guy with all the crazy hair, right? You know, he's often criticized for dropping the N-bomb, right? But then he's like, come on, I grew up in the hood, all my friends are black, that's how I talk. And actually I did find too, is that like, you know, like as a kid growing up, I was born in 88, from Oakland, in the hood, East Oakland, whatever, like the Vietnamese gangbangers or the Cambodian gangbangers or whatever. Like, it'd be so common that, you know, let's say you're a Vietnamese gangster, right? Actually, growing up, I was scared of Vietnamese people because like, they're all gangster, right? And then, you know, they come to African America, it's like, yo, what's up, my nigga, da-da-da-da, right? And then, like, and so the word N-I-G-G-A, if you use from the hood and you super ghetto, right? Don't matter if you're Mexican, Mexican-American, African-American, Asian-American, whatevs. It's permissible if you're from the hood, right? And also based on your context. So anyways, the reason why I think this is so important is as long as we still use the terminology white, black, whatevers, we're not going to actually make progress, right? And also the problem too is inherently, this is kind of like what I think too, is... when you call somebody white or whatever, right, you're essentially saying rich, privileged, higher up, elite, well-educated, right? But is Beyonce black or is she quote-unquote white? Is Kim Kardashian quote-unquote white? Technically, I think, what, Kim Kardashian Armenian, but what people don't even think about it, is like, she's Kim Kardashian, she's famous, right? So it's I think a lot of these like race wars and political wars, it's essentially stirred by the internet advertising media corporations like Facebook, Google owns YouTube, Facebook owns Instagram. And this is actually where it's good that we now trust X.com, Elon Musk, is that like, if you make the platform more open to extremist thoughts and hate, you're gonna get a lot more bad stuff, but also you're gonna get more like, so this is a philosophical tricky thing, right? So like, after Elon Musk has Twitter today, right, is that just think about this to yourself, right? So let's say Elon Musk open sources Twitter and makes it whatever, right? Let's say that you get, you know, 1 million more cases of racism and hate, but you get 10 great individuals who actually do have good thoughts, sharing really good wisdom that would otherwise be censored by Jack Dorsey and the board. Is it worth it? So once again, we're kind of run by utilitarian notions of thinking. We think about the greatest good for the greatest amount of people. Effective altruism is essentially not a good line of thinking, because once again, effective altruism, yeah, don't trust in those good. Just read the book Going Infinite by Michael Lewis, and you'll find out more. America runs on utilitarianism, which means the greatest good for the maximum amount of people, right? But then this is also the tricky thing too, right? Like, this is where Nietzsche gets interesting, right? Would you sacrifice, you know, a million average individuals for one really, really great individual? Is the thought. And I always think this to myself too, is that like, obviously poverty, growing up in the hood is very bad. I don't wish that upon nobody. But could Jay-Z had become a Jay-Z if he grew up to a nice middle-class family in Irvine? Probably not.